In the fabled land of Northern California, nestled in the Valley of Sacramento, two friends begin a journey to enlighten the world about their experience living life as a Xenial. But what is a Xenial, you may ask? If you wish to know, then follow them on their adventures.
Welcome to the Xenial Chronicles. This is James.
This is Mike.
And, well, first of all, Mike, I want to thank you for people listening. We had to do a little rescheduling of when we were going to do our recording because I had a really, really trying day in the early morning on the day that we normally do our recording. It was 5 hours of mental exhaustion that apparently had been stressing me out for the whole week. I did have a minor breakdown early in the week because I was stressed. But I didn't realize how much it had stressed me to the point where by the time I was done with this thing and this 5 hours of sitting in one spot, and you wouldn't think it's that big a deal. I'm sitting in one spot and I'm filling things out. But it was intense, apparently intense enough on my brain that when I got home from doing that, I was just in a state of mental chaos. I mean, I haven't been this bad mentally in years. I couldn't put sentences together. I mean, I was trying to communicate with you and spelling things wrong. And that was yesterday was not a good mental day for James after he had to focus for 5 hours. And apparently the whole week had really added a lot of stress and toll because I'm still feeling a little bit of it today, but I'm better. So good. Thank you for being able to reschedule some time. I'm not saying yet exactly what happened yesterday for 5 hours.
Okay.
Some people already know, some people don't. I'll reveal it afterwards. I don't want to jinx the situation.
Understood entirely.
It'd be just okay news. But anyway.
Yeah.
During that time frame, I was catching up with a few people for the day because for that 5 hours, I wasn't allowed to have my phone with me. It was a situation where I couldn't have any electronic devices with me, nothing. It's kind of a somewhat secret type thing. I wasn't doing an audition for a movie or anything. I'm not that cool.
Well, hearing about it, when you're describing your situation, the fact that you were stuck for 5 hours filling something out and then that you couldn't have your phone with you and you were mentally exhausted. At this point, it could be anything. Like, you could have gotten arrested. Technically speaking.
No, I didn't get arrested.
Good.
Like I said, it's potentially a good thing or potentially an okay thing.
Okay.
It's either a ramp into a big jump or a tiny speed bump on the way to the ramp to the big jump. I'm not sure which one it is yet.
Understood.
We'll see in 7 to 10 business days.
Good.
But anyway, as I came home and kind of this, I had a few other things I had to do afterwards because, of course, any time that I'm in specific areas away from home, you know, our drive away from home, there's different places to shop that we don't normally go to. So my wife has me stop and grab things. And I had a personal stop to make as well to grab something for myself. Yay, me.
Nice.
You say nice, but you know exactly what I stopped and got. So I already bragged to you about it when I was half coherent yesterday. But anyway, as I'm sitting at home and finally my body can start relaxing because I've finished the drive home, sat down to relax for a little bit. I start thinking about things. My wife's like, "You're supposed to do the podcast tonight, right?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm supposed to do the podcast tonight." And suddenly I feel like just weight on me, and not the weight of like, have you seen these the new weighted blankets? Do you have one of these yet in your house?
A weighted blanket? No, but I've heard of them. I kind of have a concept of them. Part of me doesn't like the concept of it, but I've never had one.
I think it might be something that your wife would be more into. I can see her personality and stuff. The way I've just seen her like sitting on the couch relaxing stuff, she'd probably be one of those people that loves the weighted blankets. My wife loves it. She bought one recently, 20-pound one. It's so heavy trying to carry it anywhere. But like she puts the thing on and she's like out asleep. She loves it.
Oh, that's so weird. So, like me, I don't like being trapped under a blanket. I like having a blanket cover me. But like I'm one of those people that even if it's the dead of winter, I still got to have a foot out. Like, I feel claustrophobic if I'm trapped underneath a blanket. And I get flanked by, like, sometimes the dogs will sleep in the bed with us. Like, most of the time we have the dogs sleep, a couple of small dogs sleep in the bed with us. A couple of other dogs that we have, they sleep on their own bed on the floor because that's the way that they slept. But they like to sneak up every once in a while. So every once in a while when I wake up in the middle of the night, I wake up claustrophobic and trapped because I'm flanked by a dog on either side of me sometimes. And it just like, I can't move. And that's what I feel like a weighted blanket would feel on me. So I just don't even. Would. Yeah, I just don't.
But your wife can sleep through that, can't she?
To a degree. Depends on where. Yeah, it depends on how, like, our bed isn't that big. We need a larger bed. But if we're going to allow for something
dog
like that.
Sleep in the bed, yeah.
Yeah, we need a larger bed. No, we do not have one, so.
Yeah, see, there was a time a long time ago where we would let the cats in around us because we only have small dogs in there, and they've always been crate trained for nighttime.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we have cats, and there was a time when we had a door open or a bedroom situation where we would let the cats sleep with us in bed. And, the cats learned fairly quickly, even though cats typically don't learn things, the cats learned fairly quickly that they needed to stay on my wife's side of the bed because if they came anywhere near me, they would be pushed onto the floor. I cannot deal with, I'm one of those people that when I'm sleeping, nothing and nobody can touch me. I barely have a sheet on sometimes in like the dead of winter, maybe the comforter over like a third of my body and like the corner of the comforter, I will drape over my like midsection and my legs are hanging out and the top of me is hanging out and just the midsection is covered, which admittedly takes a bit of, that does take a bit of comforter to cover my midsection, but still, that's the only part of me that's typically covered in any way. Cause I'm just, I don't like the things entrapping me. I don't like being touched while I'm sleeping. I'm not the spoon and fall asleep type person.
Gotcha.
That's enough to feel like I'm entrapped.
I get you there.
So yeah. My youngest child, when he was a baby, didn't sleep very well. We found out later that he was very, very sensitive to lactose. And so we had to switch him to soy formula. The second we did that, he slept a lot better
because
his stomach was just always unhappy.
Right.
But for the first like 6 months, we had no idea what the problem was. And he would not sleep on his own. The only way he would sleep would be right next to my wife. And we only had a full size bed at the time. That was not enough bed for me, the wife, and the child. So for 6 months until we could get him trained to sleep in his crib next to the bed, I actually slept on the floor next to the bed.
Aww. Where
my wife and the kid slept in the bed. Because he needed to sleep. She needed to sleep. And so at least I was there in the room with them, but I couldn't sleep in the bed. It was too tight. There was not enough room for me to be comfortable.
That makes
so
sense.
So I slept on the floor. It's what I do. But anyway, that's, I got on the tangent with the weighted blanket and I hadn't intended to, I felt like at that moment, going back to my original point, I felt like at that moment, this weighted blanket had been put on me. I just felt heavy. I didn't feel like moving, but I had people that had contacted me throughout the day. And so I was getting back in touch with them. The biggest one that contacted me was my father. And the reason my father contacted me is I know we've discussed many times your head's not in the world of sports on a regular basis.
Right.
If the football team is headed towards the Super Bowl, then you get interested. But otherwise, it's kind of like, oh, football happened. Yay,
yeah.
Football.
Yeah. That's very passive with that.
And that's all right. There was a big trade that went down on Friday. The San Francisco 49ers traded a bunch of stuff to the Miami Dolphins for the third pick in the draft.
Oh, interesting.
It's thought that the Niners are going there to try to get a quarterback, most especially because they were at a quarterback prospect's pro day. He's the only quarterback prospect whose pro day they went to, and they're at this pro day because they're not doing the combine this year. That's where they get all the college kids who are declaring to be drafted, that
right.
they're eligible for the draft. Okay. They get them all together and they have them run through drills and stuff so that the scouts can see them.
Right.
Instead, they're doing individual pro days. And this is the only pro day that the 49ers have gone to. They watch this guy. The trade is announced. So it's pretty good likelihood they're going to try to get this guy. There's some things that have to make that happen, but whatever. So my dad is going into his regular kind of mode of what's going on? What are they going to do? What's in their heads? Where are they going to do? Who do you think they're going to pick? And I'm better at I'm better than he is at the online research. Just like, a 12-year-old is better than I am at the online research.
Right. Right. Kind
of
understood.
That kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like if it's not on one of his news thingies that he has on his phone, as he would call it, he might say the word news apps, but he'll make sure to emphasize the apps. Like, look, I know what I'm talking about. I have an app. Do you know what that means? Well, I have it and it's got news. Okay.
Okay, I like that.
Do you know which site it's from? The one that's on my phone. Okay. Well, I'll try to find the site, sir.
I'm impressed.
But I'm not making a dig on my dad. I love the fact that he's able to navigate the technology as much as he can.
No, it's definitely about the generational difference for
yeah,
sure.
Definitely with that. He does his best to navigate it, and he focuses in on things that's important to him, which is his football team. That's his key most important thing.
Yeah.
And so we're having discussion with this, and I'm texting back and forth because he texts pretty good, except he texts. People say that I text too conversationally, like I say too much in my text messages and I don't keep them short enough. He does it even more than I do, but he's also really vague. Because, okay, here's another thing I've been accused of. I've been accused of using too much punctuation in my text messaging, which I think is, again, a generational thing. I still think if I'm messaging somebody, I should be using appropriate punctuation.
Right.
I use the ellipses to show when I pause so that you can read it like you're hearing me say it.
Okay.
Which I know annoys some people. My dad does the writing where he just writes stuff and there's never punctuation. And he can't spell to save his life, which he's never been able to spell. He was not the guy you went to for spelling homework help. So I have to, like, especially if it's somebody's name, I can tell you that I have seen, this is a 49er thing, I have seen probably 15 to 20 different spellings of the last name Garoppolo, who is the current quarterback for the Niners.
Yes.
And the last name Kaepernick when Colin Kaepernick was the quarterback of the 49ers. I've seen so many different spellings of those two names, it's not even funny. But anyway, I'm talking to him. I finally call him because I'm done with the messages. I tried calling him while I was driving, but call dropped out because those things happen. So I call him and I'm talking to him. And as we're talking, he decides to have a conversation with me about a new TV show. Well, not a new TV show, but a new to him TV show that he's found a station that it plays, entire blocks of this show, like nine straight hours of this show.
Right.
Reruns of it, And it's a show that's still on, but it's not new. It's been on for, I think, close to 10 years now. I'm not sure exactly how long it's been on because I was never interested in watching it. And it's a reboot of a older show. The show I'm talking about, of course, is Hawaii Five-0. Which there was an original Hawaii Five-0 way back in the day that my dad watched. And he starts watching this updated version. Not surprising. One of the main actors in it is Scott Kahn, the son of James Kahn, the
right.
actor.
Yeah.
And my dad is a big fan of him as an actor. So, okay. He's watching this show. And, he's geeking out over the different things in the show. And I'm like, okay, Dad, you found a new show you like and you have nobody else to talk to about it. Cool. I'm glad to be the conversation for you. I get that. But then comes the next part of it. And this is where I decided we'd have a little topic tonight. Okay. For a shortened version of our podcast, we're not going to go as long as we usually do, people, because I don't think there's only so much we can cover ground on this. But this is kind of a fun thing because I've had this happen to me on multiple occasions, multiple times throughout my life. I know you've had this happen because I've done this to you. So here's yes. what it is. Do you know where I'm headed with this?
No, let's go.
My dad says, there's a guy on the show. And I love watching the show, but I love it because of this guy. Because this guy, as an actor, he reminds me of you.
Oh, boy.
How many times have you had that? How many times have you had a celebrity that somebody has said, you remind them of that celebrity. Well, guess what, sir? I know I've said it a bunch of times.
Yes.
And I have a list. So not only am I going to, I'm going to give you some that are, I believe that you resemble. I'm going to talk about some that I've been told that I resemble. I want to hear your opinion on which ones you think you resemble.
Oh my goodness.
Here's the kicker. Here's the fun one.
Okay.
You get to tell me which ones you think I resemble.
Oh,
so we're gonna have fun with this.
Goodness.
See where I'm going?
Yes.
Now here's where the scary part is for me. Or I wouldn't say scary part. This is the fun part for me. Is when my dad tells me who the actor is.
Okay.
The actor
right,
in question
right.
is actor George Garcia. Now, that name didn't stick with me. I didn't know who George Garcia was. Mm-mm. I had to look it up when I was talking to him.
Okay.
And as I look it up while I'm talking to him, I kind of have a moment of, oh, okay, I see why he reminds you of me. George Garcia is most famous for a role he played on another TV series. He was brought into Hawaii Five-0 as a guest star and then was kept on as he became more of a regular, you know, semi-regular player because he's a good actor for one.
Okay.
And he probably got the guest star role because he had a major role in this other cult TV series. The TV series I'm talking about is Lost.
Oh, really? Really?
Okay. Are you a fan of Lost? Did you watch Lost?
I've seen some episodes of Lost, and it did keep my interest for a little while, like when I was played in the break room at one of my old jobs, but
Was there a character on Lost that you would think would remind anybody of me? That people would see that person and go,
I am
oh,
not,
that kind of reminds me of James.
I am not as familiar with most of the characters, so I don't believe I'm familiar with this actor.
Well, it's one of the more popular characters because he's literally known for his part on that show. And that would be the guy who, he's the guy who played Hurley on Lost.
Which one was Hurley?
The fat one.
Oh my God.
I'm
I
not
don't
even
think
joking.
That's fair. I don't think that's fair.
I'm
doesn't
not even
remind
joking,
me
though.
Of,
he is.
Okay.
No, I know that, but I'm not joking in the sense that he, on that show, he was the kind of hefty one.
No, I understand that, but I also look at him and don't think you. Like, I don't think you represent.
I get that.
Like, you, his that. Mannerisms and his demeanor and his character in that show of, okay, now I know who you're talking about. I didn't know a lot of the characters on a first-name basis. Like I said, I've watched a couple of the episodes, and I don't know specifically. The characteristics I do know of that character, though, from what I've seen, doesn't seem
well,
to match
and again,
I'm not sure that
again,
that's necessarily one I would agree with.
Well,
say.
Again, my dad's speaking more from the character of that he plays in Hawaii Five-0, and the fact that he is a larger guy with a beard when he starts in it.
Okay.
And my dad's thought frame was, you know, the idea that years ago I wanted to be an actor. It was a passion that I wanted to be a film actor specifically. I did mainly stage stuff, but I really wanted to be a film actor eventually. Right. And I think he was seeing it and going, you know, I don't know. Maybe he thought I think maybe my dad thought that I didn't think I could be an actor anymore because I had gained a lot of weight and I had a beard and tattoos and. No, I have no thoughts that would stop me from being an actor. It would typecast me in certain roles. I mean, I could walk in day one and play a biker without a second thought. You need a biker?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Just give me a leather vest and some jeans and I'm your biker.
Yeah.
I mean, that simple, that easy. You know, you need some crazy guy that lives in a you know, trailer park. I can do that. That's not a problem. You know, I have a type that I know I look like, but based on the way that I dress, the hairstyles that I have, the tattoos that I have on my body. I mean, you need the drug dealer. I can be the drug dealer, not like the expensive drug dealer, just the cheap drug dealer. I deal the cheap drugs.
I honestly could see you nailing roles like that, like
easily. I know.
Knowing that you could do that. Absolutely.
I'd be typecasting those things, but seriously, I've been walking down to the beach before with my wife next to me. We're walking down to the beach arm in arm, and I've had people stop me and ask me if I have any pot to sell. Apparently, I look enough like a drug dealer. So,
okay.
So I look at the guy saying, "No, I don't smoke." Oh, okay. Like he was like surprised and a little disappointed with me. Like, sorry, dude. I know. I
fucking
mean,
weirdo. Get all the dress like that. Not smoke weed. What's wrong with you?
Apparently, though, not, because most of the people I know that look like me do smoke weed. So I am the weird aberration.
You are apparently, yeah, but, you are the outlier.
But it's this is a new one that I've been compared to. And the upside is my dad really likes the character that he plays. So I'm guessing that's all the things that he sees that he likes about that character. That's where he sees the connection with me. So that's great. My dad, yes. You know, my dad likes me. So that's awesome. But it brought me to thinking that there have been many times in my life that I've been, I wouldn't say many, there have been a few times in my life I have been compared to celebrities. And then I thought, you know, that's something interesting to go over, which once I've been compared to them, I'm like, oh my God, Mike has been compared to so many. We're going to have fun with this.
Oh boy. Okay.
So what do you want to start with first? Actually, you know what? Since this is a mini, this is going to be a mini podcast.
Oh, okay.
It's going to be a mini podcast. I've set up the story. I've set up the idea of what we're going to talk about. We're going to take a break now. This is a lot sooner than we're going to take a break.
Okay.
Because again, we're going to try to make this a shortened podcast. Both of us have had exhausting weeks. We're just going to try to get this taken care of quickly. So we're going to take a break right here. When we come back, I'm going to start with listing off the various celebrities that I have been compared to in the past. Some of these go way, way back. You may not even remember some of them, but we're going to talk about them. Okay.
All right. That sounds great.
We'll be back in just a moment.
All right.
Hey friends, this is Mike from the Xennial Chronicles reminding you to subscribe to our YouTube channel. You can also follow us on Twitter and Facebook at Zenchron, spelled X-E-N-C-H-R-O-N, to keep up to date on all things TXC. And please check out our official website, thezennialchronicles.com, or if that's too much to type, zenchron.com. Thanks again for listening, and now, back to the show.
And we're back.
All right.
All right. So let's get the rest of this short podcast on the way here. Again, we're talking about celebrities that we have been compared to in the past. the most recent one before this follows the same kind of a trend. And it had to do with a picture that I posted. Oh, I got to think this was about 13 years ago or so. I posted this picture online. This was I think this was early Facebook or even MySpace. You know what? No, it was MySpace. It wasn't even Facebook because it's not in my Facebook stuff. It's before Facebook. This is on my MySpace account. Posted this picture. It was a picture of me outside grilling. Okay.
Okay.
It's man in the grill. I was wearing a black straw cowboy hat because it was one that kept sun off of me.
Okay.
Had the beard going on already. And I was wearing an apron because I was cooking. You know, I was grilling. And I happen to be a fan of aprons personally. When I'm cooking or I'm doing dishes or something like that, I wear an apron.
Okay.
You know, just I don't like to get my clothes dirty.
Right. Understood.
That's just something I like to do. I mean, I got a really cool one that once it's reversible. One side is Superman fabric. The other side is Doctor Who fabric.
Nice.
And that's why, for instance, you got, I believe you and your wife both got aprons, didn't you?
Yes.
Yes, because I love them personally. I love having an apron around when I'm doing anything in the kitchen.
Yes.
It's just, I feel like it's, you know, I put the apron on, I'm ready to get to work. That's kind of my thing. I'm making the food. I'm, you know, cleaning the dishes, whatever. But I guess this is a picture of me with the apron, and he snapped the picture, got posted, you know, for MySpace, whatever. And the comment came, interestingly enough, from another family member, from my brother.
Okay.
He compared me in that picture to John Popper of Blues Traveler.
Oh, okay.
The scary part was I was like 50 pounds lighter then than I am now. So I wasn't even as big then as I have gotten to. And yet that was his comparison, is that I looked kind of like John Popper from Blues Traveler.
I mean, okay.
Yeah, it was another weight related one.
I was going to say, like, there's, man, that's okay. Like, how do you react to stuff like that? Like,
my reaction was, man, I wish I had that dude's pipes. I'll say that.
Yeah, that's true. That guy could sing like a son of a bitch. He could play a harmonica too, like crazy.
Yeah, it's just sucking and blowing.
Most of it's draw. Actually, he does circular breathing to do that.
I was making a joke.
It is sucking and blowing. You're right. Now that I think about it.
But anyway, that would be circular breathing. But anyway, that was a comparison, I think, completely based on kind of the silhouette that I had shown. But
right.
back in the day, I had a couple of comparisons that were a little more flattering, at least at the time they were. I don't know if they would still be considered flattering now. So I can go back to my teenage years. This is as far back as I'll go. Anything between that, I just wasn't really compared to any celebrity that I know of, at least not out loud. This is where you get to fill in the gap of any that you would see me as looking like or resembling.
Oh, this is where I get to. Okay. I'm curious if you're going to call out one, because there's one that I have, but.
Okay. Let me list the ones I got.
Okay. Yeah. List the ones that you have and then.
In my teenage years, especially with the hairstyle that I had and the fact that I was bereft of any kind of facial hair until after I turned like 19 or 20. I was often compared to, who at the time was a big actor because he was on a very famous TV show that the teenage girls really loved, and specifically my girlfriend in high school was a huge fan of the show. She was such a big fan that back in that time period, you had to watch a show when it came on if you had the network to watch it on.
Right, right.
And I didn't have any networks to watch it on because I had an old like 10-foot wide satellite dish that you would literally have to move to like 10 different 12 different satellites, and each satellite you'd get like three channels that would come in.
Yeah.
And so you'd have to dial in for which satellite that you wanted, listen to the thing, you know, 15 feet outside the house, listen to the motor turn on and the dish start moving, and you could watch it move from satellite to satellite, and hopefully you didn't have trees blocking it. That's what we had for TV. Well, my girlfriend had a little bit more upgraded TV at that time. So she loved watching the show, but she wanted to make sure I was keeping up on it too, because she loved it so much and wanted to talk to me about it. So she would record it on VHS when it came on and then give it to me. And I was supposed to watch it the next night so that she only had to wait one day to talk to me about it. And so I did, because I was a good, dutiful boyfriend.
Right.
The show. Do you have any guess as to what show it was?
I have one guess.
Go ahead.
Would it be Saved by the Bell?
No, it was not Saved by the Bell.
Oh, okay. Now I gotta know what show it is.
Were you gonna compare me to Zach Morris?
Dude, I actually was.
Okay. Now hold on.
As a teenager, it would make sense.
As a teenager, okay, and it would with the hair and all of that.
Yes.
This one will make even more sense to you.
Okay.
This one is an even better fit.
Okay.
The show was Dawson's Creek. And yes, I was compared to James Vanderbeek.
That's fantastic. In Dawson's Creek.
Especially because his character was a huge film buff and was trying to make movies all the time. And his favorite director was like Steven Spielberg. Not my favorite director, but still a good director.
Right.
Of some films. Yeah, the parallels were too much there. I already had a similar hairstyle, and basically I was just a short, less attractive version of James Vanderbeek, which again my girlfriend at the time was happy for, because her two greatest loves were James Vanderbeek and Leonardo DiCaprio, and I looked nothing like that pug-faced DiCaprio. So thank God.
A pug face.
Now keep in mind, this was the girlfriend that I went to. I was made to go to Titanic with. And I stood up and applauded when he fell into the water frozen. And I did. I stood up and I applauded.
Oh my God. The only one in the whole fucking theater. Either that or you started and then everybody else's boyfriend started doing
that. That would have been beautiful if that had happened. I wish if that had happened, I would have made a film about my teenage life just to be able to include that
as a scene. Yeah.
Because that would have been brilliant.
Just it would have been the climax of the film.
For me to be clapping and for one, you know, the other boyfriends to look around. And it's just a room full of boyfriends with their girlfriends watching it. And then one other boyfriend has the gall to just stand up with me and be like, yeah, we're glad to see it too. And then the rest of them, and then suddenly it's the whole room and all the girlfriends are just staring at us like, what? That would have been great. But that's not how it happened. What happened was I stood up and clapped. She grabbed me and pulled me back down and gave me the sternest look possible. And and honestly, she was right. I violated theater protocol. You don't get up and clap in the middle of the theater. That's just not something, the movie theater anyway. Theater, you do. But in the movie theater, you don't get up and clap like that because you're violating the sanctity of the movie theater environment. It's a holy place, and you shouldn't do that. But at that moment, I think it was necessary.
I've never known you to find sanctity in most holy places, though, so... That just the wouldn't be something that applied to you that I know of.
No, the movie theater is the only one, sir. The movie theater is the only one. That is the holy place to me.
Okay.
I had a movie completely ruined one time because I met a person. The person happened to be female, but I just happened to random person I met on a day. She goes through the whole line of not having anything to do. Can she hang out with me for the day? Whatever. I'm like, okay, fine. She was flirting heavily, but I wasn't completely vibing on it, but I let her hang out. I was going that night to see a movie with our internet guy, Rob. Yes. We were going to see a movie in the theater we'd already scheduled for. She asked if she could tag along. I said, fine, okay, you can tag along with us. A couple of weird things happened on the way there. We stopped, like most people that are intelligent, we stopped at a store beforehand to pick up candy that we could smuggle in so we didn't have to pay the exorbitant costs for candy at the movie theater, because that's just wrong. You buy your popcorn there, fine. But if you're going to get candy, especially if it's in a box or a bag, don't buy it at the movie theater. It costs too much. Just go to a dollar store or a grocery store and buy your candy, damn it. At least that's how I had to do it because I was poor.
Anyway, right.
We're going into the grocery store. I motioned for her to, you know, walk in the store before me because, you know, I'm a gentleman and the lady goes first, and she like stood still and waited for me to walk in. So it was like, this is weird. Okay. Ah. So we go and sit for the theater, and you got my buddy Rob sitting, then me, and then the girl on the other side of me. Right.
Right.
And again, movie theater, you've been in the theater, I think, a couple times with me. Recently when we went to see the Metallica thing.
Yes.
That we talked about on here.
Yeah.
And that one was an environment where you could talk a little bit because you're watching a concert. You weren't watching a movie. You know, you could talk a little bit. And you were, you could sing along too, which I did on multiple songs because I'm not going to sit and watch Metallica and not sing along because that's just, you don't do that.
Speaking of which, I still haven't gotten that album yet and I need to.
I have it. It's amazing.
I know. I need to get it on Blu-ray.
I have the Blu-rays. Day is fun.
Nice.
I've only been allowed to watch it once, though, because, you know, some people don't love Metallica as much as I love Metallica. But anyway. We're in this theater. We're in this theater trying to watch this movie, and it's really irritating because of the movies that are a part of this movie series, it became a movie series. This is actually the only real good one because this is the only one that tried to be an authentic genre of movie instead of just stupid, weird fantasy, sci-fi garbage crap out of the mind of some muscle-bound idiot who claims to have played D&D at one point in his life. So we're watching this. And I shouldn't say that because, you know, he may be a nice guy and one day I might want to be friends with him. I don't know. But anyway,
he commanded the hell out of that Street Sharks commercial. Okay.
He did. He killed the Street Sharks commercial.
Yeah.
So we're trying to watch this movie and I'm trying to watch this movie. Rob's trying to watch it with me. And the girl starts doing the making the moves on me thing. Now there's a section of guys that are going to be like, oh, all right, making the moves in the movie theater. Let's get down for it. Nope. Nope. I am stopping her at every moment. Like, what the hell are you doing? And it's not because like it wasn't the whole not into her thing. Cause I wasn't fully into her, but I might've considered being into her. She was okay. But like that ended it right there. Like we're watching a movie. We paid money to watch the movie. What are you doing? And then my friend is right here next to me. Why would I do this with my friend right here next to me while I'm trying to watch a movie? Wow. Rob was so pissed afterwards. He's like, dude, you are not going to hook up with that girl, are you? I'm like, no, because you can't hook up with that girl. Why can't I hook up with that girl? I want to hear your opinion on it. Dude, she did that in a movie theater? dude, you don't do that in movie theaters. You watch movies in movie theaters. Like, I never do. No. Seriously, it is a sacred space to me. Movie theater is about the only sacred space. And I will say this, every time I have been in a religious space, I am completely and utterly respectful to the people in the religious space. It's their space. I'm not going to disrespect them there. We'll go out onto the sidewalk and we'll do the disrespect out on the sidewalk. Inside their place of you know, importance, I'm not going to disrespect it. I don't want anybody to disrespect mine, so I won't disrespect theirs.
Okay, that's
but
fair.
Yes, that's what the theater is for me. It is a holy place. It is a place where I don't even let my kids talk to me in the theater. My kids try to talk to me. You know, my son tries to ask me questions about the movie. I'm like, we're watching a movie. Don't talk. We're watching a movie. My wife can't even talk to me in the movie theater. She tries to ask me something. I'm like, nowadays, I just glare at her like, what? You're doing what? And she's like, oh, yeah, we're watching a movie. Sorry. No, theater is a sacred place to go watch that film.
Okay.
Anyway.
Understood. Anyway,
so yes, I was called Dawson a few times in my youth. Okay. I was compared to James Vanderbeek was one I was compared to. A few years earlier than that, I was compared to another, and the kind of flowing blonde hair kind of thing is one of the things that I guess was a trademark of mine for a long time, because I do have very nice hair even to this day. Thank you. And it was rather flowing and blonde in my teenage years.
Yes.
So, and I was into fantasy stuff, D&D, that kind of thing, into, sword fighting, that kind of stuff. So I had, a couple of, people compare me to a figure from a fantasy movie, one of my favorite ones, being compared to Cary Elwes in The Princess Bride.
Nice. Okay, that's cool.
Which is again another nice one. I can somewhat see it. The blonde hair, you know, looking like a childish, boyish looks, because he looked a little boyish in that one. Even when he had the little mustache, you're looking at me and the Dread Pirate Roberts. Yeah, whatever. You're still a little boy. You ain't no man. But that was one of them. And then the final one is the most embarrassing one, and the one you probably won't remember as much. But it's actually probably the most accurate to how I looked at around the age of 12 or 13. Especially when I didn't have product in my hair. And if I had product in my hair, it was stuck to my head. Because that was the time of you know, that the giant tubs of industrial gel that you would put in your hair just to get it to stick to your head. At least I did anyway, when you, lots of hair had to stick it down. Otherwise it would kind of be curly and poofed out. And so at around that time, by again, the same group of girls that had compared me to Cary Elwes, I graduated into Cary Elwes from this original one. The original one that I was compared to was an actor named Jason James Richter.
I am not familiar. No.
But you are familiar with the only major movie that he did.
Really?
Oh, yes. You're very familiar with that movie, I'm sure. I'm sure you watched it at least two or three times as a kid. But more importantly, it's a movie that is a cultural touchstone type movie.
Really? Okay.
Oh, yes. That movie would be Free Willy.
Is that the kid?
The kid is Jason James Richter.
I'll be damned. You're,
and I'll be honest. Okay. I looked pretty much like him when I was.
Did
I was
you? Young. Oh, that's great. Okay.
So, did I hit the one that you were going to suggest?
Actually, no.
So what was it? Give it to me. Okay. I want to hear it.
So there's two. Okay. So back when I worked with you at Blockbuster.
Okay, so this is back in the day.
Yeah, this is some back in the day stuff. Back when I worked with you at Blockbuster, there was a film that came out from a burgeoning new star at the time, comedy star. And he had been known in a couple of films. And I'm not trying to typecast you in a comparison, but there's, okay, let me explain this a little bit more, because when I say who it is, you're going to go, oh, but the thing is it doesn't have to do with the films he's been in more recently, or the casting of his character in general. Okay, it has to do with, okay. with a specific specific movie and a specific cover art that I remembered seeing from back in the day. So the movie that I'm talking about, the actor that I'm talking about is Jack Black. And I'm not talking about Jack Black long hair beard. I'm not talking about Jack Black.
Which, by the way, I'm sad that I missed that. The more recent Jack Black, especially with his are they TikTok videos he's doing?
He's doing YouTube and I think like Instagram videos and stuff. They get shared all over Facebook. I could see him doing TikTok too.
The most recent Jack Black I have been compared to once or twice, and I would totally, if I had the opportunity to play like his brother in a movie, his younger brother in a movie, I would totally do it, and I would totally see the resemblance, and I'm 100% okay with that because Jack Black is freaking awesome.
He is freaking awesome.
If I look even the smallest bit like him, If I look even the smallest bit like him, I'm totally cool with that.
Okay, so I will tell you more recently, you do look like the current version of Jack Black. The beard.
Which movie of Jack Black are you talking about?
I am talking specifically about. Okay, I'm gonna explain this to the audience.
Silverman?
No, gonna explain this to the audience a little bit more. Okay, very specific. You probably have this movie sitting in your movie collection right now, and you should probably take a look at it.
Oh God! So I know which one it is.
There is James when he has a specific
the night
happy
Chicago
grin.
Died. Right?
No. James has a specific...
Go on, sorry.
Okay. James has a specific grin. He has a certain happy grin, like a semi-sinister but very happy, happy grin. Happy James grin is a specific type of grin. Bright, very wide-eyed, very bright, very, very grinny. Now, I knew James back before he had a full beard, and I knew him when he had short hair. And I think you may have even had bleached tips at the first time I met you. I'm not sure.
Oh, fuck off. But yes, I did.
But what I do remember is when those bleached tips went away and you still had short hair and you were kind of rocking back in the day. You were kind of rocking the Guy Fieri flame shirts every once in a while, too. But
whenever I possibly could.
Yes. Now, there is a specific grin that you have to your face.
And I still have all of those shirts.
Fantastic.
I just want you to know that.
May you wear them again, sir. I say that as
when I can, I will.
You do that. May you wear them again. I say that now. But if you were to look at the cover art, if anybody wants to know what this happy grin, James's happy grin was, they need to look specifically at the cover art for the movie Shallow Hal. Because he has a bright-eyed, toothy grin that's extremely similar to what you... Every time I saw that film, that cover of that movie, I saw the first thing I saw was James's happy grin face. Like,
I thought you were going for high fidelity.
I don't know what it was. Some kind of pareidolic anomaly. Pareidolic anomaly. Boy, that was a mouthful. But there's something about it that made me see your happy face, like your happy dance face specifically.
No, I'm looking at it right now. I'm looking at it right now, and that little sideways grin thing going on. No, that's it. That's it, dude. That's it.
So that
and so if the closest celebrity doppelganger that I get to have is Jack Black, I am totally okay with that.
Right on.
That's happiness for me.
Okay, good.
But now. Now we get to delve into the Mike King library of stuff.
Oh, you're going to have to.
And now I'm gonna list off the ones that I have said to him and the ones that I have noticed.
Okay.
And then you can go ahead and fill in because I had time to prepare for this at least. I just sprung this on you.
Yeah.
You can fill in any that I've forgotten.
I might even be able to supplement some of these comparisons too.
I was watching a movie. This actually, it's funny because I had the conversation with my dad about Hurley from Lost. And then I remembered that a couple of days previous, I was watching a movie, older movie, not older, but older for kids. But like it happened, it was done when we were kids. I remember watching it as a kid and it happened to be on. So I was flipping channels, saw it. I'm like, I haven't seen this in years. Let's watch this. And, it's got some fun actors in it that you know, are doing different roles, because it's a sports movie from back in the day.
Okay.
And I see one of the main characters and I'm like, oh crap, I've forgotten how much that guy looks like Mike. And then when my wife was out at the time, when she came home, I was still watching the movie. She's like, what's this movie? So I told her the movie. And I said, look at that guy. Doesn't he look a little bit like Mike? Yeah, a little bit he does. I said, and then look at that guy. He's in the Gilmore Girls. Oh, he is, isn't he? The movie in question is a movie called Little Big League.
Whoa. I don't think I ever actually saw Little Big League, but I'm curious who this is. I'm going to look him up.
It's about a kid whose grandfather owns the Minnesota Twins, and his grandfather dies and leaves the kid the Minnesota Twins. So he owns the team. He fires the coach because he thinks the coach is too rude to the players, and he coaches the team.
Cute.
But one of the main actors in it, he plays first baseman, is actor Timothy Busfield.
Oh, okay.
Now, are you looking up actor Timothy Busfield?
I am looking him here's up the funny part. From that film specifically.
Here's the funny part. If you look at a picture of him now, honestly, I think he looks like your dad, which makes sense.
Oh, okay.
At least pictures I've seen of your dad.
Okay, let me look up the images here. Oh, holy shit.
Now, am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong. I see the resemblance. He total redhead, spiky hair. He's kind of got the eye. He has my eyes. I could see it though. I could see it a little bit.
And I mean, Timothy Busfield.
You're not entirely wrong.
And it's not one of those things where like it's like totally different from you. It looks like you could play a member of his family. Like again with Jack Black, look like I could be a member of his family.
Yes, I'll give you that one. I'll give you that one for sure. That's funny, man. I could see that. I had never.
That's not one I've ever said to you, only because Timothy Busfield is not that well known an actor,
right?
And it was just like the other day watching, going, "Oh yeah, I remember." And he looks kind of like Mike. The ones I've said to Mike multiple times, I've compared him to Chuck Norris many times.
Yeah, when I grow a full beard, like I get a lot of Chuck Norris comparisons.
You get the Chuck Norris thing.
Yeah,
because
it's always a short beard that I grow, so it's like a short full beard that I grow.
And you have the heritage for it.
I do.
Okay,
I will.
So that
be real.
Helps.
Yes, I will tell you this. There's actually a friend of mine who put. I think I shared this compilation video. A friend of mine, she's into like doing funny deepfake type stuff, just comical deepfake videos from an app.
Yes.
She stuck my face on a Chuck Norris montage, and
yes,
I shared the video. Get this, I shared the video with my stepdad, and he thought he was looking at a Chuck Norris montage. To give you a comparison of what he thought. And as soon as he shared it with my mom, that's when she's like, oh shit, that's actually Mike's face. He was like, wait, what? And he looked at it again and realized what it was that I had shared with him.
Well, I mean, keep in mind, he you know, your mom like had you inside of her body. So she's going to notice that a little bit quicker. You know what I mean?
Dude, my stepdad has been my dad since I was like 3 or 4 months old.
He taught me how to walk.
Like... He should know. I'm not giving him. I don't consider it a negative thing. I thought it was really funny that it was that close of a resemblance.
And I mean,
he didn't even notice.
I get that. He's been around your whole life and taught you how to walk and all of that. But you weren't inside of his body for 9 months.
That's
something a mother. That's something just a mother is going to notice. Your mother's going to notice something like that over like even your biological father too. Because again, you did not live inside of him for 9 months. It's like there is that special extra bond of like I know that that's my kid's mouth.
Yes,
possibly it might have been on my nipple at one point. I know that mouth. I'm just saying. It's not always true. I mean, none of my kids were breastfed, so that my wife's not going to recognize them from that. But still, I'm just saying. You know, mothers have that intuition a little bit better.
Understood.
But Chuck Norris is one of the big ones.
Yeah.
And then the other one that I remember very heavily, the other two I remember being heavily compared to you, is, of course, Paul Giamatti.
Yes.
Which I think that's only a redheaded thing.
I have. Honestly. No, there's. Okay, so get this. Here's the funny part about that. my sister, actually, now more than one person has told me that I look like I'm related to Paul Giamatti, which to a degree I might be able to see it.
I mean,
a small degree.
Again, a relation maybe.
More recently, yeah, the guy, he right now he looks like my grandfather. And
like
my,
your actual grandfather?
No. Right now, he looks like he could be my grandfather.
Okay, I was going
like,
to say.
He looks like, if you put the two of us in the same room, yeah, if you put the two of us in the same room, somebody would assume that we're related. I would completely understand that. Now, however, when your stepsister tells you when she's like 15 that you look like the blue guy from Big Fat Liar, you can take it as an insult.
That's right, though. That's him. That's yeah, Paul that's Giamatti.
Him. That's him.
In case any of you didn't know, he is the blue guy from Big Fat Liar.
Yeah.
that's him in one of his early roles.
Yeah.
And admittedly, Paul Giamatti's had some good roles. Paul Giamatti's had some bad roles, and then Paul Giamatti has had some purposefully bad roles in good/bad movies. He was in the movie Shootout, which was or Shoot 'Em Up. I forget what it's called. It's the one where Clive Owen is some kind of weapons specialist and Paul Giamatti's the bad guy chewing scenery all around him. And it's one of those movies that, like, it's just a full-on action movie. It has no logical sense. The main character that Clive Owen plays is based off of Bugs Bunny. Literally based off of Bugs Bunny. It's really weird.
Wow.
But it's actually it's a really, really good action movie.
Oh, okay.
If you don't try to think about the movie.
Yeah.
If you just
enjoy it for what it is,
blow up.
Yeah,
I mean, there's a gunfight while Clive Owen's character is having sex with Monica Bellucci. They're having sex in a hotel room, and he's having a gunfight with somebody at the same time.
What the hell?
Yeah. Oh, this is, dude. He uses a pistol to make a merry-go-round turn around. There's a gunfight in midair while people are skydiving from a plane.
This sounds like something Jason Statham would be all over.
It is one hell of a movie. It's one of those films you do not take seriously. You just watch it and enjoy the action sequences and laugh at the stupidity of the film. It is not something to take seriously.
Okay.
But anyway,
I might be down to see this. This sounds interesting.
And Paul Giamatti does a wonderful job of playing the type of villain he needs to for the movie, which is a villain that is literally just grabbing the walls and chewing them.
Oh, this is a major, like, oh man.
Yeah, he's
so we're talking some serious drats foiled again kind of shit.
He is dialed this shit up to 13 in that movie.
I love it. Okay, I want to see it just for him then. That's great. So is he the main bad guy?
It's purposefully over. He is the main bad guy, and it's purposefully overacted.
It sounds fantastic.
And it's amazing.
Yeah.
But
it's
anyway,
kind of got like, is he like scenery chewing like Gary Oldman and Leon the Professional, like that kind of a thing?
To that level, if not more.
Oh, yeah.
Points.
All right. Yeah, I'm there.
It's good
overacting bad guy, I'm always down for.
There's a fine line where you do it and it's fun to watch, and then you do it and it's like, and in this one, Giamatti gets over the line of this is fun to watch. He's just going to town and having fun. And
that sounds fantastic.
Yeah. Then the other one, of course, the other one that you've been compared to, not necessarily entirely for physical appearance, but more for your singing voice sometimes and some of your stage presence when you were playing music. In fact, it was such a big thing that your bandmates, if I remember correctly, disallowed you from ever buying an Explorer body style guitar.
Yeah, that's true.
They told me I was not allowed.
Yes, I was never allowed to have an Explorer for that reason.
Because of the fact that you bear a bit of a resemblance to James Hetfield of Metallica, and
yes.
What they really didn't want was you to have a white Explorer
that said
something like, for me, it would have been funny if you had one
yeah.
and you actually had the words and spelled that like this, E-A-T, D-U-C-K.
Eat duck.
Eat duck. Just because that would be funny to me. Yeah. I would find that amusing. And that what your band didn't want is they didn't want Minnie Het as their band leader, basically.
Dude, I'm going to find a kit guitar or get an Explorer just to do that with.
Honestly, you know what I'd love to do at some point? Especially since you sent me that Wolfgang Van Halen video.
Yeah.
Earlier today, I would love to work with you to do a few Metallica covers.
Oh, okay.
And film them like that, but like just stuff that's not too difficult to try to play, unless we're going to fake it. But yeah. at least I'm going to fake it. But have you dress as both James and Lars?
Oh, I'm there. Okay.
And have you perform the James and Lars parts?
Yeah.
And then we'll get a giant like black curly wig, because I have the guitar.
Right.
I have a Kirk Hammett guitar. So we'll get the giant black curly wig for me. I'll just make sure it covers my beard and stuff. And we'll have me do Kirk Hammett. And then we'll also have me do, for fun, we should have me play like two different versions of the bassist. I can do both Jason Newsted, and I can do True.
Do True? Oh my God.
I can do both of them, or I can just do True.
Trujillo Crab getting, Walk? Yes, please.
Yeah, it'll be hard getting into the Crab Walk, but I'll figure out how to do it. And so, yeah. And even if we don't actually play the music, even if we just do the videos and miming the music,
yeah,
just to do that, that would be fun as hell.
Dude,
we should do a few videos of
we
those.
Should totally do this. Like one or two just for funsies. Why not? Yeah. Throw it on the YouTube channel.
That sounds fun. That would be hilarious.
Yeah.
Because and of course having also moments before we start playing the music and after with in character trying to say funny things, you know, you get to although you know what, I'm gonna say it on here. If we do it, no, I won't say it on here. If we do it, I'm thinking of a surprise.
Oh,
we should do a video that has two songs done.
Okay,
and then like. Yeah, yeah. When we're done with this, I'll bring up the surprise part, because I don't want to ruin the surprise. I want people to be able to watch it for that.
Okay.
So, what have I missed? What other celebrities have you been compared to that I've missed? I'm having a feeling that it's basically going to be anybody that's a redheaded celebrity. Did you ever get the comparison to what's his name? God damn, the guy who did the scores for all of the Tim Burton movies.
Danny Elfman?
Yeah. Did you ever get that one because he's a redhead?
No, I never got a comparison to Danny Elfman. Nobody's told me that.
You look nothing like him. He just has red hair.
No. Yeah. The cheap shot redhead thing up to a degree, like every once in a while I would get it, but nothing that actually stuck that I thought, like not even things that were particularly absurd. So nothing like that, but there's a couple of them that I can think of. Off the top of my head. So I had a small amount of people back in the day, back when I knew you, back when I had first met you. Sorry, when I knew you. Of course, we know each other, but...
I know which one's coming.
The first one was Mike Shinoda of Linkin Park.
Oh, God, why didn't I even think of the Mike Shinoda one? Of course, I called you that.
Yeah. And it is really funny because... And Shinoda's like half Japanese. His name is Shinoda. Like... But when you saw him and you saw me, like, in a side-by-side picture, especially about, like, I think he's only 3 or 4 years older than me or something like that. He's not that much older than me. And so when you see him, especially when you saw him back in the day and you saw me back in the day, we have very similar facial features. Same eye shape. Same shape of the mouth. Like, it's really weird to see him because I see similarities in my own profile and in my own face. It's awkward. Like, I even see it. And it's just weird to see a guy that's half Japanese so looks so much like a guy who is pretty much mostly Irish quarter Mexican. It just doesn't seem to fit like it would, but it kind of does, and it's really weird.
It is.
Yeah, I do see that. I do also... Okay.
I'm going to throw one out real quick.
Okay.
As a prediction. You got the Seth Green, didn't you?
No, not really.
You didn't get the Seth Green?
You know what? Maybe somebody said it in passing and I just didn't like it. Just didn't stick. I think somebody might have seen it like back when Scooby-Doo fucking came out or when Austin Powers came out or something. I think I might have gotten a comparison at one point because I did have spiky hair before I did have spiky hair a little bit like right when I got out of high school. But, maybe Seth Green a little bit. Yeah, I could see it. And it sounds like tropey redheady or tropey redhead comparison.
It is a bit of that, yeah.
But I could see a little bit of it, but not that much. No, the other one that surprised me, you'll know who this is. I don't think anybody else knows who this is. Miguel Ferrer.
Yeah. Yeah, which again, you have some of the mixed heritage there.
It helps
with that. But yeah, there's some similarities with Miguel Ferrer. For people who don't know, the most modern movie that people would recognize him from, sadly, he has passed away.
Yeah.
But the most modern movie people would probably recognize him from is Iron Man 3. He plays the vice president in that, who's spoilers. He's one of the bad guys. He's in on the bad guy's plot to kill the president, who you can't kill that president though, because that president is death. So
yeah.
And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you need to watch more movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what most people know him from. I personally remember him most fondly from the original Stand, the Stand miniseries.
Oh, you're right. He was in that.
Yes,
you know, I always remember him from, what was he? Was he RoboCop or RoboCop 2?
Or was he was in RoboCop 2.
Yeah.
He wasn't in the first one. But
yeah, he's the guy that gets shot and falls out the window, right? He's like the big bad dude in that one.
He might be. I don't remember for sure. It's been a long time.
I know he's in one of the RoboCop films. I remembered that. Like
the first one traumatized me very badly as a kid, and so I've never been able to watch any of them really since then. I got like major traumatized from the first one when the gang guys are first shooting Murphy.
Dude, that scene is fucking brutal.
That traumatized the crap out of me. And I mean, apparently I was screaming at the TV and I couldn't sleep for like two nights. That movie really, really traumatized me.
That scene is not like, that is not for like back in the day, especially if you were, when you were a kid when that came out. So that scene of Murphy getting shot up is just fucking brutal.
As a comparison. I have never been able to watch it since then because it was so traumatizing.
So you must not have seen this. There was a college project that was done. It was uploaded to YouTube where people were doing shot for shot remakes of the original RoboCop, but they were recording. They were making them like 5 or 6 years ago, I wanted to say, maybe in close to 10 years ago. I remember people were doing that. And it was like a shot for shot parody of the original RoboCop. Right.
Yeah, I did not see it.
There is the scene where he shoots the rapist in the dick in the alleyway, like right through his pants.
Yeah.
And the only thing I'm always like, my memory always goes back to this because I saw this scene. And it was fucking hilarious. The shot for shot parody was just he saves the girl from the rapist by shooting him in the dick. And then other like hostage rape situations start popping up. Not like we're not talking like graphic rape situations. We're talking like the same thug holding a girl with a knife to her neck. And then he starts shooting the other guys in the dick. And then there's just guys that keep coming out of the woodwork in the back dark alleyway and their dicks are out of their pants. And it's just like a dick shot, like montage of the RoboCop constantly shooting thugs in the dick. And it goes for like 3 minutes and it's ridiculous.
So anybody listening, apparently this is the type of stuff Mike likes to watch.
RoboCop
shooting guys in the dick. I believe they call that docking, but whatever.
What?
Whole different subject.
Fuck?
So Miguel, we're back to the topic.
Great
Miguel
ending Ferrer. On this, man. Oh my God.
Miguel Ferrer would be the other one you have. Again, if you don't know who that is, do some research. Good actor. Came from a lineage of actors. His father and I believe grandfather were also actors, but his father was a very famous actor, played a real life character, Toulouse Lautrec, a artist that lived in Paris.
Oh,
part of the Moulin Rouge. He's kind of famous for that role. But anyway, anybody else, any other comparisons that you can think of? You were given.
Not like right out the top of my head. No, not really. I think we about hit all the major ones from what I remember.
And admittedly, I've lobbed a few of those your way. And honestly, most of them are most of them have to do with being redheaded, but also there are some the character traits, especially the James Hetfield one. That's very much about character traits.
Yeah.
Your singing style and your performance style, which isn't very, it's not very much a surprise. You are a big Metallica fan.
Very
you
much so. I modeled a lot of what I was doing, especially back in the day on that. And I still have a lot of that element still there when I come out with something musically. It's, it's a lot more me than it was me trying to impersonate somebody else. But there's still elements of it there. It's just kind of what I sound like to a degree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's what happens.
Yeah.
But as far as the others, hey, those aren't bad people to be compared to. Again, the Jack Black one is one I've heard from you recently.
Yeah.
And that's one I don't mind. And I kind of see the Jack Black one to some extent. I don't look exactly like him. I think he's a much better looking dude than me, but I definitely do look like I could be related to the dude, and I'm okay with that. Maybe that'll get me a part someday if I ever do decide to pursue the acting.
Yeah.
But again, the genesis of this, I'm glad my dad's watching a TV show that one, he loves, and two, has a character that reminds him of me, especially because it's been almost 2 years since I've had the opportunity to see him with pandemic and with the other things going on in his life. It's nice that he has something he can look at to remind him. All I have to do is put on any variation of a Christmas movie, mm-hmm. and I will be reminded of my father since he looks like Santa Claus. Or interestingly enough, since I can turn the tables on my dad a little bit, my father may not look like a certain actor as far as the actual physical appearance, but what's funny is just like you adopted characteristics of like James Hetfield and multiple other performers. I mean, listening to your vocals, I hear two or three different singers in your vocals when you're singing.
Oh.
Hetfield was one of them. Mm-hmm. David Draiman, I hear a lot of David Draiman in your vocals.
Oh, okay.
And that's to be expected. These are the people that are the people that you've listened to for music. You would have modeled yourself to some degree after some of their singing stuff.
Yeah.
What's really amusing is even though my father doesn't resemble this actor, his facial expressions actually do resemble this actor. And I can see facial expressions that my father has that are almost exactly the same as, interestingly, not well, really interesting, it makes sense, his favorite actor. My father's favorite actor was John Wayne. Is still John Wayne.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I watched more John Wayne movies growing up than I care to recall because that's who my dad liked as an actor. He watched, I am sure he has seen every single movie that John Wayne has been in at least 3 or 4 times. I have seen many of them more times than I want to admit. But there's a specific one, the movie McClintock. I think I've made you watch that movie.
I watched it once with you. So long ago.
You need to watch that with your wife.
Yeah.
Watch it with your wife.
Okay.
It is key for you to watch it with your wife.
Okay.
Because she will laugh her ass off throughout that movie.
Okay.
Because she'll look at all the misogyny that's happening in that movie, and she'll be like, oh my God, but she will find it all so freaking funny. I guarantee you.
Okay. Okay.
Anyway, the expressions that John Wayne has in that movie is like a virtual library of my father's facial expressions. If you watch that film, you will see almost every expression that goes across my father's face, and it's exactly the same. So, Dad, I remind you of Hurley from Lost in the new Hawaii Five-0. You've always reminded me of John Wayne and McClintock. And Mike, now it's Timothy Busfield from Little Big League.
There you go. Thank you.
Seriously, all the pictures I've seen of your dad, he really does look like your dad now. They could be brothers. It's scary. But anyway, I think that's it for us. This is a shorter version of what we normally do. So, Mike, where are people listening to us talk about the celebrities that we supposedly resemble?
Well, you could be listening to us on our website, thezenchronicles.com or zenchron.com, spelled X-E-N-C-H-R-O-N, if you want to reach it by shorthand. You could be listening to us on a variety of podcast platforms, all the podcast platforms, you know, TuneIn and Spotify and Google and all
Do
of
they still even have Google.
I'm not sure. I think it moved on to something else. So I'm not entirely positive. Okay. We're going to need to get a re-up, but most of the major podcast like platforms will be on. Yeah. You should be able to find us.
Actually, you can Google us, Zenio Chronicles, and you can find us there.
You can Google us.
That's how I find everything.
Yeah. But we could also be, you know, we were talking about that Metallica parody type video we may be doing at some point. You're going to find that on our YouTube channel when we decide to put it together, whenever that is. And our podcast.
Whenever we can actually get together to put something together.
Yeah. When the time comes. That's when it's going to happen. Our podcast, actually our entire podcast library, is also available on our YouTube channel. And when we don't put out a podcast, we put out a video. So yeah. So when you can, if you haven't already, go find us on YouTube. We are trying to reach 100 subscribers right now as well. So while you are there, make sure you like the video, make sure that you subscribe to it. And I think, James, there was one more thing that they needed to do while they were there.
The bell. That one.
Yeah.
Did you get that? Did you hear it? Did I say it loud enough?
You got it.
Click the bell.
Yes. Click the bell. Make sure that you get notified when we put a new, well, video in that or podcast out on YouTube so that, you get to enjoy it there as well.
And while you're there, while you're doing the subscribing to us and the clicking the bell, check out Mike's two other pages on YouTube. He has his Ruling Note music page. This is where he talks about all things music related, tries to do it in a James Hetfield voice and fails. Not really. The failing is for the other page. In this, he can give you recording advice, gear advice, give you history of music stuff. It's been a while since I've seen it, so I'm not sure what the content is right now, but I have a busy life. And the other thing that he does on YouTube, the other page he has, is a page called Chronosode Games.
Yes.
This is a page that he does with his wife. They do videos of Mike and sometimes his wife playing video games, and Mike sucking badly at them until he realizes what the appropriate controller configuration is and then can learn to play a little bit
and
better.
And then buying that game on an entirely different system and then just playing it that way.
Because you understand the controller configuration better. By the way, I had that conversation with my wife directly after we talked about it.
Oh yeah,
on the podcast.
Yeah,
and she just had a moment of like, oh. I said, that's why you've always had problems with Xbox controllers, is because they're so backwards to what you're used to. She goes,
yes,
that makes so much sense.
Yep.
I'm like, yeah. So it's not your fault. It's the controllers being all wonky on you.
I am so glad I'm able to help so many people, man. That's actually really nice. I'm not saying that in jest. Good.
No, you're not the only one that's had this problem.
So. It's good to know.
Anyway.
Oh, man, my dogs are going crazy.
Thank you all for listening. And by the way, if we have left out a celebrity that you think that we resemble, because you can find videos with us in it.
Yes.
Let us know. Let us know. Even if it's the wildest, craziest thing, go ahead and let us know.
Please do.
We would love to hear. We'd love to hear what you think. What celebrities you think that we resemble? Thank you for listening, and we will talk to you again next month.
Y'all have a good one.
Thank you for tuning in, friends. The journey continues next week.